My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands and Lathrop, Howard Eskin in Philly, moments away. Dibs, say something. Say anything.
I can't wait to talk to Howard Eskin. Mr. Chipper, no one's going to be happier about... Well, everything than Howard Eskin.
I didn't want to take a call before you spoke. So,
you can't do that. Bros before phones.
Right, but now that you've spoken, let's go to Bob in the city.
Oh,
hi, Bob.
Great.
Brock and his sample size. What do you got?
Well, let's see. You guys kind of stole my thunder on the Kaepernick comparison. So I would say, nobody talks about, Steve Young, right? Look at all the weapons he stepped into after Joe left, right? I mean, nobody says anything about him. And... you know, of course, he was a great, great quarterback. He was already a good quarterback before he even became, went to the Niners. But anyway, okay, maybe Brock isn't the creme de la creme. I'll settle for a Krispy Kreme.
Right? Yeah, right.
I mean, he's pretty good.
Bob, you saved it. Great job. Yeah. You got donut references in there. We're in. You know, I've always sort of had a little bit of an issue with that. Like, here's an example, the MVP award in the NBA. At times, I've watched players, Steph Curry being one of them, get penalized for having good teammates. I don't think you should be penalized for having good teammates. I think that's a weird way to sort of assess a player. You're good, but you're not that good because your teammates are good. Well, how do you know, first of all, that those teammates aren't being elevated by that player, number one? And number two, when your team is good, it's usual that you have more than one good player.
Usually.
That's usually the way it works.
Yeah, not often. Do you have a really good team? I mean, Allen Iverson with the Philadelphia 76ers. Maybe I got Eskin on the brain right now, but when AI was leading the Sixers, he was about all they had, with apologies to Eric Snow and Matt Geiger.
River Islands guest line, Howard Eskin is with us here. Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Back to the call shortly. But what's going on, Howard? How are you?
You know what? You're living in the past. That's the last time with an Allen Iverson team that the 76ers got past the second round of the playoffs. And so those were the good times for the Sixers. Now they just they're living in never land. They're 2 to 3 years away from being 2 to 3 years away.
Well, I'm trusting the process, Howard. We're out here trusting the process.
You sound like you don't trust the process, Howard.
Didn't you guys at one time wanted Ben Simmons? Oh, what a stiff. Oh. And then you can have Joel Embiid.
I'd be interested in Joel Embiid.
All-time drama queen.
Yeah, no, never been interested in Ben Simmons. I know what you're talking about. Okay. But, Howard, what about this? Okay. Speaking of living in the past, that trade this morning caught my attention. The Eagles getting Jahan Dotson. I know that's not some flashy sort of an acquisition, but I look at what the Eagles have done at skill position players this offseason. Saquon Barkley paying both A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Meantime, here are the Niners kind of playing footsie with two of their starter players who aren't in yet. And it feels to me like the Eagles are acting so aggressively, and I'm tracing all of that back to December 3rd of last year, where they were so embarrassed that it has led to this aggression in the offseason. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't think it was based on the one game. I guess you're talking about the game against San Francisco. But I don't think it was based on one game. It was based on the end of the season where they lost, what, 6 out of the last 7 games or 5 out of the last 6, whatever it was. It wasn't pretty. So, you know, they always look to improve. I thought they were okay at wide receiver because you're only talking about the third wide receiver. You have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. What you also have, when you said they paid people, they paid a running back more than most teams would pay a running back. That's a running back. And Saquon Barkley. And as soon as they paid him that, I said, he's going to be more than a running back. I think Saquon Barkley will be the third leading receiver on the Eagles football team because I think they're going to use him that much. So what they're doing is they're giving Jalen Hurts so many weapons that they have to be successful on offense, and they just have to be better, and they should be successful on offense, and they have to be better on defense, which they weren't. Last year, they couldn't tackle me. So they weren't physical. They didn't tackle well. They didn't do a lot of things well, but they have they've got some players on defense, which I know are better. They got a defensive coordinator who I know is better. So, you know, all those things considered, I think, and you guys aren't going to want to hear this, they're one of the top two teams in the NFC. And you're going to ask me the question. Who's the other
one? Who's the other one, Howard?
Green Bay.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so, you know, I think San Francisco is in for a rude awakening. The 49ers are in for a rude awakening. And here's what I base it on. It's just a statistical fact that the team that loses a Super Bowl has only gotten back once in the last 30 years, the next year. Has only gotten back once in the last 30 years, the next season, which indicates that those teams do not have a good year the next year. So I'm putting the 49ers in that position. I mean, they have some issues, and we got to see whether Brock Purdy is Joe Montana, which, you know, I'm sure people out there in San Francisco, you know, are kind of putting them up to that level. Joe Montana's the best quarterback that ever played in the NFL. So that you know, that's always been my stance. But whatever the case, I want to see Brock Purdy do it again. Brandon Ayuk, whether he signs there, stays there, they're just not going to be the same, even if he stays there. He hasn't had camp, not that that's a big deal, but it's apparent they're not going to give him the contract that he wants. Everybody wants to be the top-paid wide receiver. So they have, and that's what happens when you get to a Super Bowl. When you lose it, players want to get their money. They want to get their money anyway. So I don't think San Francisco's in there. I don't think Detroit will be the same team because now they have a tougher schedule, and now people understand that they're a better team. And the Rams are the only other team, if Stafford stays healthy, who I think can be a good team in the NFC. There's nobody in the NFC East because the Cowboys will always choke and suck. The Giants are awful. Mm. The Redskins might be a little bit better, but not good enough. So, I mean, what other teams in the NFC? You tell me. I think the Eagles and Green Bay are the two best teams, and they play the first game of the season. Unfortunately for the Eagles, it's in Brazil. That was supposed to be a home game, and now it's a neutral site, which is not fair to the Eagles. But whatever the case, they got to do it.
And I guess when you lose in Brazil, I don't know what the conversion rate of a loss in Brazil is, but I guess 0-1 will still be 0-1 in Philadelphia. What's your big reservation about the Niners, other than your quaint little stat about one time in 30 years as a team made it back? Is your biggest reservation about the Niners' chances this year, is it about Brock Purdy, the quarterback, and your doubts?
No, I don't think it. Brock Purdy's just part of the equation, but it works for Brock Purdy because everything else worked for him. I mean, the team was, they were a really good team. There's no question that the 49ers were a really good team. But they had, they made it easier for Brock Purdy because he had good people around him. Obviously, McCaffrey is the key figure in that whole thing. But you still need the other players. I don't think it's just Brock Purdy. There's something about it. I don't know what it is, that when a team loses a Super Bowl, they're just not as good the next year. And don't ask me to explain it. I'm just giving you history. I know you don't want to hear history when it works against the 49ers, but that's the reality of what the NFL is.
Wow.
The Eagles lost the Super Bowl, and they folded the second half of the year. They folded the last six or seven games. So whatever it is, it's usually the case that the team's not as good. Regardless of whether they go back to the Super Bowl the next year, that just points out the obvious.
How many times during that time, Howard, has the Super Bowl winner gone back to the Super Bowl again the next year?
More times, because the Patriots went back.
Yep.
I think the Chiefs went back.
Yeah, but they also went back after they lost. They also went back after they lost.
I don't know. Well, let's put it this way. There's more teams that went back. Now, I don't know whether they won it when they went back. All I know is this fact of life, which is history, just jumps out at you when only one losing team has gone back the next year in 30 years.
I'm not going to argue the facts, but if the only examples of where the winner goes back are the two dynasties of the Patriots and Chiefs, don't you think?
I'm sure there's more.
Yeah, but couldn't I answer this with it's just hard to go to the Super Bowl. Like you're usually not going to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but for whatever reason, but teams that win go back more than teams that lose. That's all. That's a fact. I hate to break the news to you, but that's a fact. All right? That's a fact. What happened when the 49ers choked against, who was it, the Ravens? They didn't go back the next year, right?
Right.
No. Yeah.
Okay. That's another one. So, they're just...
I mean,
when the Eagles gacked it 2 years ago against Kansas City, they didn't make it back last year.
I'm looking at it right now. Looking at it right now, Howard, and literally, if you go back, I'm just scanning this now, if you go back the last 30 years, you pretty much need a dynasty to go back to, like, Dallas did this in the 90s. Obviously, the 49ers did it in the 80s. New England did it a couple of times. Kansas City's done it a couple of times. The only other team that I can see that's been in back-to-back Super Bowls, and again, I'm just scanning the board, is Denver in 98 and 99. But, like, even okay, some of the greats, like
so Baltimore. That's what, four or five teams?
If you're going back 40 years, basically it's the dynasties. So if your point is that the Niners are not a dynasty, acknowledged. You know what I mean? But like,
well, they're not. I'm just giving you facts. I'm just trying to help you out there. You don't go, so you don't fall too hard.
Seattle did it in 14
and 15. It's somewhat of an arbitrary line that you draw, because if you go back, 33 years, you see that Buffalo went to four straight. But your 30-year stat, it stands up. And it's that's the beauty of what we do, Howard, is we all draw these arbitrary lines in the sand. Like my partner and I were talking about last year, how Philly was 10-1 until the Niners broke them, and then they lost six of their last seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I understand that. And the Eagles just weren't good enough last year. There were flaws, and they were exposed at the end of the season. So, I mean, I've acknowledged that. I've accepted that. But they'll be better this year than the 49ers. That's almost a guarantee. They'll be better than the 49ers. Almost a guarantee.
Howard Eskin in Philly here on 95.7 The Game with Willard and Dibs. Howard, I wanted to ask you this. Like, that story... And it kind of came and went fast, but maybe 3-4 weeks ago, that Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts were just not on the same page last year. Have they got that fixed? How do you see that?
Well, that wasn't new news. It was clickbait for ESPN, which is the clickbait machine in America. It was a story that was written. It was old news. We already knew about all that. It wasn't new. They weren't on the same page. Jalen Hurts has grown up since then, and I just I wasn't sure he could take the accountability that he should have taken, but he's been much better. I mean, I just notice it, and I see it around his teammates. He's better, but that's old news. That's just old news. It's just, if you want to, you know, look back at the past, then live in the past. You got to move forward. And yeah, there were challenges last year, but also one of the stories, and I don't know who put it out there, again, it was clickbait, that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown didn't get along, which was total nonsense and total BS, because they were really, really tight. But that came out there too. So everybody was trying to find something, and it was a story, and I think it was put out before the first time that Jalen Hurts was scheduled to speak after the minicamps. Isn't it interesting that it came out right before that? Boy, shocking. Shocking. And then, you know, and then people gobble it up for a couple of days, and then you move forward. Yes, and there were challenges between, but there were challenges between the quarterback and the offensive coordinator, which is the head coach, and there were challenges on defense with the coordinator. Matt Patricia was the coordinator, and although a great guy, he just wasn't a good defensive coordinator. So, and that was a change made in the middle of the year, and players had some issues with him. But it's not that juicy clickbait nonsense that they can regurgitate on ESPN 24 hours a day. So, I mean, that's really what it came down to. But we're past that, and that's old news, really. And I'm not just pushing it aside. You know, there was things that existed that weren't good, but it's old news. And we're moving forward, and everybody seems to be on the same page now. Jalen Hurts, I can't go by if he makes completions in camp, in the 11-on-11s, that doesn't mean anything to me. It's the way he's throwing the football, and the way I can see he's engaged with his teammates now, which I don't know whether that was totally the case last year. So he will have a better year this year than he had last year. No question about it. And he is better than, let's put it this way, he is better than Brock Purdy.
Oh, please, boys, that's, I mean, it's inflammatory.
Maybe. Howard Eskin in Philly. Hey, man, we always enjoy talking to you. I do like the trade they made this morning. Let's definitely catch up during the year, even though the two teams don't play.
Yeah, the one thing I will say, something positive, I love Steve Kerr as a head coach.
Okay.
Love him. Love him. And they got terrific players. Love him. You know, I wish we had a coach like that for the basketball team in Philadelphia. Yeah,
maybe someday you'll get to see May basketball again sometime, Howard.
We're 2 to 3 years away from here.
I love that line.
You just hate Boston, so you love that he benched Jason Tatum. That's all that this is about. I see through that.
I'm telling you. Yeah. I loved Larry Bird, so I loved the Celtics back in the day.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Howard, thanks, man. Good to talk to you.
All right, take care. Have a good day.
You too. There goes Howard Eskin in Philly. And seems sort of like unimpressed by the trade that they made today.
Yeah.
But, you know, the rest of it, look, I get it. Who knows? The Eagles will be a factor. Green Bay will be a factor. I personally, and if you want to call this bias, I'll listen. I personally think the Super Bowl hangover thing is a complete bunch of quirky crap.
Well,
I just do.
I mean, like, historically, he is right. You just don't, when you lose it, you don't go back.
And historically, when you win it, you don't go back unless you're an all-time team. And the Niners are at least not yet that.
New England went to 3 straight.
Right. They're New England. There's a dynasty.
They won it. They lost it. They won it. Kansas City won it, lost it, skipped a year, and won it twice.
Dynasty.
Yeah, so
I know Seattle went to 2 in a row. I know that, you know, Denver, if you want to go back 30 years, Dallas, the Niners, all of that stuff. The deal is you usually don't go to the bowl.
Yes, unless you are one of these dynastic teams, of which we've seen in the last 30 years, as he's talking about, you've seen 2.
Even then.
3. New England's had 2 dynasties, and now Kansas City's got
one. Like, Niner fans, that was already, like, on any given year, no matter what you did last year, you are very highly likely to not go to the bowl. That's life. We thought we were going to the bowl 2 years ago. Quarterback got hit, boom, ball game over, see ya.
Yeah.
Try again next year.
Well, and if you look at the NFC, and you go back in the last 10 bowls, you have Seattle, Carolina, Atlanta, Philly, the Rams, the Niners, Tampa. Seven different teams in the last 10 years representing one conference. You don't get a lot of that consistency. And in the AFC, it's been mostly Kansas City and New England.
I look at it more like this. How many teams in the NFC could you legitimately believe today could be in the Super Bowl? I'd believe it if it were the Niners. I'd believe Philly. I believe Detroit. I believe Green Bay. Gosh, I can't even wrap my head around
list.
Yeah, it might be end of list. Maybe the Rams. Probably.
If you want to get into maybe country, you get into maybe the Rams and maybe the Cowboys. I think if you want to talk maybes, call
Tampa,
me maybe.
Tampa or Atlanta? Can you even believe that?
I would put them a tier below maybe.
Okay.
I would put them in the unlikely.
Seattle? Is that your like?
They're below unlikely. They're long shots.
So even if it's only four or five teams, that's pretty low chance.
Right.
Pretty low chance.
Well, if that's your final four in the NFC, and it very well could be, then get the number one seed again, Niners, because home field tends to be very important in those games.
Huge. Philmo Mike is on here with Willard and Dibs. We always love it when you call, brother. What's up?
Oh, man. Eskin is such a bum. I just hate people that just swear that, you know, that what they do, like Philly's just all that. They not all that. And then, speaking of, I think we're in a unique position. Listening to George Kittle, I'm telling y'all, man, y'all haven't been listening to Deebo Samuel. He lost two Super Bowls. George Kittle lost two Super Bowls. These dudes is hot. So it ain't like, I think the temperament of the team is a little bit different. Howard Eskin talking about the Eagles. He was just beefing with his quarterback. Like, how can you go into the next year and say that they're going to be the top two teams when Jalen Hurts don't even trust his quarterback? And Jalen Hurts, to me, ain't even all that of a quarterback, to keep it real. And then my last one is I'm sick of people talking about that he has players around him. Every great quarterback, except Dan Marino, has had great players around them to get to the Super Bowl. So, like, all the rhetoric where people say, well, you know, like Tom Brady had a freaking all-star team. Joe Montana had four or five Hall of Famers. So, like, the rhetoric of he didn't have enough, he got too many players. I want all the players. I want everybody. So I can't wait till Brandon Ayuk get back into camp and we can get this thing rolling, man. But I do understand the urgency. We have to play with urgency out the gate. And thank God we got George Kittle and Deebo Samuel to make sure that everybody going to be lining up and doing their thing this year. I really think we're going to get it done.
Philmo, thanks, man. Great stuff as always. Appreciate you. I'll say this. It is funny when people go, I can't wait to see what Brock looks like when he doesn't have good teammates. It's like, well, that's not the plan.
Right.
I realize he's going to have to make a big old chunk of change, and I realize that that may make your maneuverability harder. But sometimes it feels like people think that's the game plan. Better win this year. And then the new game plan kicks in, which is Brock by himself.
Totally.
It's going to be the Brock by himself era. And it's going to be amazing. We think he's worth $60 million, and we actually have a plan. Our plan is to cut a good player every month.
Right.
Starting next May.
Forfeit all draft picks.
Yeah, we're going to cut a good player every month. And then the cool thing is when we follow that up by not signing more players. We're not going to sign any. We're going to punt on the draft. And we're just going to put Brock out there and go, all right, now, buddy, it's just like preseason all the time. Let's see it, buddy. You're all by yourself. That's never going to be the game plan.
Exactly.
And this regime has never looked like buffoons consistently when acquiring players. They've had misses. They've had more hits. They built this roster from absolute crap to the best thing in sports.
And they have two Hall of Famers that they didn't draft on their current roster. So even if they don't hit in the draft, you feel like they might be able to go out there and trade picks to bring in Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey and help to keep this thing rolling, even if they happen to have some holes eventually on this roster.
Yeah, they got a good owner who's willing to go for it. I mean, I know a few years ago that was a crazy thing to say about the York family.
Right?
But they've got a good owner. We're sponsored by Lucky California. Check this out. There's more of you that want to weigh in. Stay right where you are. We're coming to you 888-957-9570. And also, Got fresh Ayuk.
No. Come on, take a playoff.
I do, but I got fresh Ayuk.
Okay.
I'm Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Well, I was on hold and waiting for you guys to talk to me. Jaden Daniels is FaceTiming me, so I had to tell him, well, I got to go on this show. I'll get back to you when I get off the show. So,
come on, coach.
On 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I think something subliminal happened that day. Because in that two quarterback league, I had the third overall pick. I took Lamar. But then when it swung back to me for pick 22, whose name did I call? With the 22nd pick in the stupid Superflex.
Yeah.
Thank you. Mark Willard selects Jaden Daniels, quarterback, Washington Commanders.
Okay. And the quarterbacks go like hotcakes in that league,
hot
obviously.
Hotcakes, brother.
Because you have two. You start two. You got
to
get them.
I went QB to start. That's a little...
A little hot?
Well, that's a little unorthodox, but that's I was playing the board.
Yeah.
And then it swung back in the third round, and who did I take? I think it took Puka.
Like 28th at that point?
Something. I got a look. Maybe I didn't take Puka. I took some wide receivers. I think I did. I think I took Puka. Anyway.
You'd love Puka.
Well, yeah.
He won you the league last year.
He did. He did.
That and our cockamamement. I'm not going to be negative this year. I'm not going to be negative.
Yes, you know, are.
The way the waiver system was set up,
you picked
last, so you got to pick first in the waiver.
I love that you make that sound like it's weird. That's exactly how it always works.
Yeah, it's weird.
Whoever picks last, the waiver priority starts as you're the one. Like, that's just how it works. And I saved it. I tucked it away right here in the back pocket. And week three.
Well, the waiver doesn't start. No, it was after week one is when you made that waiver claim.
No, because it was?
Yes. It was week one. Puka had a great game week one in Seattle, and you picked him up.
Don't pretend like you slow played it and you were the only one to see Puka Nacua.
Well, no, I didn't.
After week one.
I remember the Monday after week one. You were like, hey, by the way, don't even put waiver claims in for me.
Puka plays for me, right. But that was before the Niner game. I thought it was after the Niner game.
It was right after week one when the Rams were in Seattle.
Because I usually don't play my dudes when they play the Niners. Unless I got no choice. Or unless...
For those of you not watching on YouTube, that was a gigantic eye roll from your boy.
Unless they... Either I have no choice or they have cool Hawaiian names.
Gotcha.
Those are my rules. It's my team.
Yes.
I get to do whatever I want.
I don't believe you. So if you would have had Lamar Jackson...
You wouldn't
have played Lamar Jackson against the Niners? Come on, bud.
No, if you don't have another good option, I'm not falling off a cliff for it.
Okay.
But I don't root for it. I root against my fantasy players when they're playing the Niners. So I usually, if I got another option, I'm sitting them.
Do you have to be a homer?
Totally. Yes, this is where it comes, Brian.
I do. Yes, I do. That's the way it works. And thank you on the text line. 925 said that Eskin guy's as big of a homer for Philly as Willard is for the Niners.
But he's not afraid to rip. He's not a homer. He's a troll. He plays the role. Well, he went out and buried his own team, talking about Philly, the Sixers being two or three years away from being 2 or 3 years away.
And then he said the Eagles are the favorite in the NFC, and last year's game against the Niners had nothing to do with this.
Because that's all he's got.
Okay.
His town, do you realize that in his town, since 1980, they've won a grand total of 4 championships in the Big Three sports? I'm
very well aware.
Meanwhile, here in the Bay... And discounting the A's because we're going to pretend that we're a 3-team town, which we're about to be.
Yeah, we're about to be.
Yeah, I believe we've got 12 since then.
I'm going to still rep the Sharks.
Well, I'm not counting the Sharks because they're not one of the big three teams.
No,
big
they're
three
not,
sports.
Yeah, they're not big three.
We've got 12 titles. The Giants have the 3, and the Niners have the 5, and the Warriors have the 4 since 1980. So.
Yep.
There you go, Philly and Howard Eskin. No wonder why he sounds so angry.
Well, Philly's just an angry place.
No doubt.
Which I don't know. I never understood why. I think it's a great city. It's a beautiful city. Beautiful city.
I've only passed through.
Really?
I've been there, but I was driving through.
Oh, see, I had...
On my 1,000-mile journey for love.
Part of that is, and everybody's got these places, and I love the story of your journey for love.
Yeah, I wound up in the snow, and then on a couch, and then back in the car.
You lived Goodwill Hunting without the good ending.
Totally. I drove a lot further than he did.
You went to go see about a girl.
Yeah.
No, but I think we all have those cities. We have those gaps, like big cities that we don't know. I've never been to Boston. I've never been to New Orleans. Never been.
Never been to New
Orleans. Never been, and was supposed to go. Freaking USC was supposed to go to the Sugar Bowl, and the Orange Bowl swooped in and took them. And we were like, what? Like, we all had our... They were booking flights to New Orleans. Had to change it. We're going to Miami instead.
Oh.
But anyway, point is, Philadelphia, I have, and this is largely because of it. I'm glad Matt Nahege and our boss is here to hear this, but largely because of Tony Bruno. I have not only been to Philly multiple times, I have been deep into the backwoods of Philadelphia, eating Italian dinners in a brownstone type of I've been to Philadelphia.
Wow.
So I love that city. But everybody's so mad. They're so mad. And I don't really understand it. You know, their sports teams haven't been that bad. I could go give you a city that's been worse easily. Easily. You know what I mean? Hasn't Cleveland been worse? Historically?
Yeah.
They've got the Browns, the Guardians / Indians. LeBron got him a ring.
I
don't know.
In the big three sports, I think since 1980, they have just the one. I don't think the Guardians have gotten one.
No. Guardians, I think, are the longest running team right now, aren't they?
The Cavs got the one.
They got the one.
And the Browns... They were close now in the 80s. Oh. They had a couple of runs.
Yeah,
Elway got them.
Yeah, kept fumbling at one.
Yeah, that one fumble.
Kind of like the Steelers.
So, yeah, Cleveland. Yeah, but Cleveland is kind of the pincushion of American sports. So
I told you that I had...
Fresh Ayuk.
I got some Fresh Ayuk.
Okay.
I got some Fresh Ayuk. And basically, this is a statement that was recently made by our guy, Mike Silver. And this is very, very recent. And the quote is that everything is still on the table, including all of the trades that you've heard about. Wait for it now. The Steelers scenario. And I wouldn't rule out Washington.
I love it. That's the first thing I thought of this morning.
Yep.
When, and I didn't share it. I didn't share it on the show thread, and I should have, but it's running around dropping a two-year-old off at preschool. But when the Jahan Dotson trade popped, the first thing I thought of is, well, this clears the way for Brandon Ayuk to become a Commanders. Go play with your buddy. And they say they don't want me.
Well, Washington got a new third round, a new fancy third round draft pick, which could very well be a part of a package that comes to the 49ers. Although, what about that whole, like, the Niners want a receiver thing?
Exactly.
Maybe they don't anymore. Maybe they've spent so much time in this camp. Like, has anything happened that would make you go, maybe we don't need another receiver? I'll give you a few sentences. You tell me if any one of these resonate at all.
Okay.
And I've read all of this, okay? Number one, Chris Conley has had a great camp.
Okay.
Do anything for you?
It does a lot for me.
It does?
Yeah, he made a couple of big plays in the postseason last year, and I know that's not the same as, you know, being second in the league in yards per target, and it's not 75 catches, but he made a couple of big plays, and they used him in a couple of big spots, and he showed himself to be at least competent, at the very least.
All right, next. The 49ers have signed former 1,000-yard receiver Robbie Chosen.
Nah, it does nothing for me.
That does nothing. Okay. Yeah. How about last preseason game? Woo! Jacob Cowing popped. Do anything for you?
It does a little bit for me. I'm still more bullish on Ricky Pearsall, but he hasn't been healthy enough to play.
That was going
to
be my next sentence.
Oh, sorry.
I jumped the queue. Just like, we're still very high on Ricky Pearsall. Like, we drafted two rookies, and we like them.
That does a little bit for me.
If you trade Brandon, do you still need a receiver in return?
I think you do.
Okay.
But I don't know if the Niners think that.
Let me ask it this way. If you did, let's say you trade Brandon, and you get a receiver in return, who's the receiver that now doesn't make the team who's currently here?
I think it's Robbie Chosen, but you could look at the depth chart as it is now, and is Ronnie Bell going to make the team? Is he on the bubble? Is Trent Taylor going to make the team?
I don't think so.
I mean, you're looking at six receivers at most. So if you take Brandon Ayuk out for the time being, and you say, okay, who are the other five receivers that are going to make it? It's going to be Debo and Juwan.
And the two rookies.
Right.
That's four.
There's four of your five right there. So who's your fifth? Is it going to be?
I would handicap Conley as the favorite right now.
Okay. Yeah.
And again, if there's no Ayuk, and you're saying you keep five or keep six?
You keep six with Ayuk, and you probably keep six anyway if you don't have Ayuk.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at last year and snap counts, and you know the question is, do you need another receiver? Debo played exactly 2/3 of the snaps last year, 66%. Brandon played 3/4 of the snaps, 75%. Juwan played 1/3, and then the rest was divided between Ray, Willie Snead, Ronnie Bell. Conley actually played 10% of snaps last year.
Yeah.
So could Conley step up and take some of Brandon Ayuk's?
I like Conley. Like, I'm just like, don't attach that to anything. I like Chris Conley.
They like Chris Conley.
So if you're receiving core, if you popped out of this, like, let's add Chosen to it just for fun, because he's a veteran and he's been around. So let's say you do trade Ayuk and you don't get a receiver in return, and you're like, we've got our receiving core. It is Debo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Chris Conley, Robbie Chosen, and the two rooks. And Cowing is your punt returner.
Yeah.
You all right?
No.
Okay.
I don't think that's good enough. I mean, I'm all right.
Yeah.
I'm all right because I know what they like to do offensively, and they like to do a lot of two running backs and one tight end. They like to do a lot of two running backs and two tight ends. When you do two running backs and two tight ends, you only need one wide receiver.
Yeah.
So you can do that more than you normally would, and you can move McCaffrey out into the slot, and now he's a receiver. You can move Debo into the backfield, and he's a running back. You have enough interchangeability with your roster roster that you can get away with it. But the one thing that makes me pause in all this is the fact that you're losing your one true receiver, the guy you can put out in the X position and say, get open.
Yeah, but I think that they think that that will get better each week.
Yeah, and that's like who Ricky Pearsall should become.
They're betting
right?
on the rookies.
Yeah.
I think they like the rookies. You know, and Ricky is unfortunate. Like, both of them fell a little bit behind. Ricky a lot behind. But maybe by week 9, they don't feel that way anymore. You know what I mean? And can Chris Conley and Robbie Chosen be placeholders for the first half of the season? I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I'm not like, you know what I mean? I'm not offended by it. And in fact, you know, 925 says, how about getting another position of need in return? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, what if you added to your D-line depth?
Exactly. That would be something that would make me feel better.
And got draft capital.
Yeah, you're going to get draft capital. Sure. And draft capital is obviously not that sexy as it pertains to this year, because I do think you have holes. Your D-line depth is a question. Your offensive line, right now your interior offensive line, you feel better about it with the way that Dominic Pooney's played, but I do think you could still use another guy who could be a guard or a tackle, a swing offensive lineman for depth. And outside of that, I think your roster's pretty good. Your secondary's deep with what the rookies have done out there at safety, and your linebacking looks pretty solid. Your tight end position is great. We know quarterback is lock solid. And running backs, you've got options at running back. You're going to end up cutting a pretty good running back.
Yeah, I think Mason's an interesting player this year. Also, they just added to the tight end room today. They brought Logan Thomas back. Did
okay.
you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Just brought this just a few hours ago. Just brought him back. So, hey, GPD's on the line here on Willard and Dibbs. Jason LaConfora is going to join us in 15 minutes. Wrote a scathing article about the 49ers. That's not actually true. But he's doing the same thing a lot of people are doing, which is vibe check 49ers down. And so, like, not high on this season. There's a piece of me that likes that right now, but we can get to that in a second. Hey, GPD, what are you doing, good man?
What's up? Hey, Willard without the I and Dibs without the B.
That's what we're talking about.
Grandpa Daddy.
I just picked up my 3-year-old from preschool, going to grandma and grandpa's house, and I heard you guys talking. I freaking love you guys, man. Just, you know what? You guys always make my day.
Hey, are you going to be at the next summit in Fremont?
Of course.
Okay.
I'm going to be there, man. Hey, I'm sorry I missed it.
What's she saying, GPD?
She said, Grandma, she said, Grandpa, she calls him Papa. Pop-Pop's house.
Oh, yeah, you got to get to Pop-Pop's house. I thought she was saying, don't trade Ayuk, John. Don't trade him.
Bro, you guys always hit the nail on the head. You know, I'm with you, man. Willard, I'm tired, man. I'm tired. Look, Ayuk, just, what do they say? Ask or get off the pot. Come on, man. They done called all, your bluffs. Get with it, man. You're hurting the team. And one other thing. How many times we got to go through this? I told you guys I was Team Purdy from the beginning. I saw when he did that one season before he got his Tommy John injury. I saw it, and I says, he the man. This is what they need. How many times did he get to prove himself? I'm just going to say it. I believe he's a victim a reverse racism. You got all these black quarterbacks doing their thing, so everybody's like, man, it's all about the black quarterback now. We tired of the, you know, I'm just keeping it real. Oh, we tired of the white boys having all the fame. Now we got the black quarterback. So, see, I can say this because I'm black. So, you know, so he's a victim of the reverse racism. Purdy, he's the great white hope again. Give him his props. I love Purdy. He showed himself. He proved himself. He can go in the huddle and say, and tell all these dudes down, they respect him now, right? What did he say? Hey, you guys, for me, shut the F up. Shut the F. Listen to the play. And they respect him now. He got the respect of the team. right? I'm just keeping it real. He said it himself. They respect him now. And he's like, man, shut the F up. Here's the play. Blah, blah, blah. I'm waiting for the time when he gets into play and gets into the huddle and says, hey, look, I don't call this play. People, did you see that dude over there? And did you see the way the linebacker was moving up on that? Hey, look, I'm calling the change. And then he does an audible on the line right to Shanahan, right to Purdy, pulls that off for the first time. I'm waiting for that one. And they're successful. Purdy, we love you, dog. You got this. You know what I'm saying?
Jumpy Dad, we know exactly what you see. You're an original, man.
Rack him. Somebody needs to rack that man. That was great.
I will say, I agree there's an ism going on. I am not going to call it reverse racism.
You can't.
I won't.
He did, and he can.
I am going to refer to my coined phrase, draftism. And I think the proof is completely in the pudding. Because nobody wants C.J. Stroud to show us again. Nobody thinks that's a small sample. Nobody thinks Jordan Love is a small sample. Nobody thinks any of those players who came out of the first round are a small sample. Only Brock. Only Brock. If C.J. Stroud wins the division again this year, there is going to be a parade in Houston, even if they're a first round out. There'll be a parade, and C.J. Stroud will be the next big thing, and he will have had the same number of starts as Brock Purdy.
Right.
Fewer, considering Brock will be playing this year as well.
Well, he already has fewer, and you're right about the level of doubt on C.J. Stroud. He's already, many people are ready to crown him after 1 year, and Brock, there's still, whispers and wonder about whether or not he's going to get that bag.
Put this in ink right now. If the Bears make the playoffs,
oh geez,
nobody is going to say, well, small sample, Caleb Williams, very small sample. No one will say that.
And I'll agree with that because if the Bears make the playoffs, it will be a miracle. And if the Bears make the playoffs, Caleb Williams will be a top five in the MVP guy.
It's a good roster.
Yeah, but
I don't know the ins and outs. I don't know the trenches of the Bears. I don't know exactly where their defense sits. They got a good roster. They got some players now.
Yeah, that's just that it's receiving the Bears,
core.
Though.
I mean, the Eagles receiving core. What about the Bears receiving core? DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze.
Yeah, and they've had a nice little hookup early from Caleb to Rome.
Yep.
It's been nice, but it's a big step up for the Bears to go from as bad as they've been. Last year, they were a little bit better. They took some steps forward and got rid of their quarterback, so... Well, I wonder about the rookie quarterback and see how well he'll do when we get into the real games.
What if the Commanders trade for Brandon Ayuk and make the playoffs?
That would be a shocker.
Is anybody going to say that Jaden Daniels needs to show us again?
I doubt it. There'll be no sample size talk about that.
Yeah.
And I'm reading through the Jason Lockenfora piece in the Washington Post, and the word he's using a lot is vibes. And it feels like the touchy-feely vibes that the Niners have had aren't really there as much anymore with the hold-in and the hold-out. And he does go on to say that executives that he's talked to off the record have said that the Trent Williams situation is a big-time nod-nod, wink-wink. Like, yeah, you're holding out, ha-ha-ha. You're not really holding out. We'll see you when we need to see you.
Trent Williams is playing on September 9th.
Of course.
I promise you.
And that's what... Jason Lockenfora, who joins us at the top of the hour, he's talked to people around the league who've said, come on.
There's no issue with Trent. There is an issue with Brandon.
Right.
There's an issue.
In his piece, he says that, it seems to him that the trade talks between these teams are essentially dead. According to executives he's talked to, that the trade talks and the dialogue between these teams essentially were suspended this week.
Okay.
After, reaching serious stages with the Patriots, Steelers, and Browns. And I wonder if that is still the case here, 7 hours after he wrote the piece.
Well, he's based, correct me if I'm
Baltimore,
wrong, he's based in Baltimore.
Yep.
Let's ask him about the Commanders, for crying out loud. Like, let's ask him about that rumor for sure and see if it's rekindled. But at the same time, I'd completely believe it if trade talks have died because these other teams, like, again, there's a game in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You ain't trying to change your game plan right now.
Jason writes, one person heavily involved in the process said the Niners entered Tuesday, 2 days ago, at $29 million a year. And then he goes on to say it's unclear how close the sides may be on full contract guarantees. And Ayuk had intimated that he wants 30, according to Jason Lock and Fora. So
I just
and he writes, obviously that's not a huge gulf. So we can ask Jason Lock and Fora, our Odyssey NFL insider, about these numbers. And if that's the case, like, what's the holdup here, my friends?
Dude.
I mean, this is straight from the piece
Monday,
in the Washington Post.
Monday at 2 o'clock. If you aren't here, I'm out. And I know nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
That's just one fan talking.
This article posted about 12 hours ago.
Okay.
From Jason Lockenfora.
And he joins us next. So let's get all these answers. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises, Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.